ga ma ga ga Kunja Bihari Jai Rama Ga 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 Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Bala ga Girivara Dhari Gopi Jana Bala ga Girivara Yashoda Nandana Mrijamaranjana Yamuna Sira Vanachari Yamuna Sira Vanachari Yamuna Sira Vanachari Yamuna Sira Janna Bala Da Girivara Dhari Mati Janna Bala Yashoda Nandana Mata Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Jai Jayalada Madhava Kanja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kanja Bihari Eti Jana Balata Girivara Dhari Gopi Jana Balata Girivara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada ki Jai Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Bhagavishara Stuttara Sad Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki Grantarao Srimad Bhagavatam ki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 20, Text Number 3. Let's read and then I can repeat. Sudya Sadhava Loke Naradheva Narottama Nabi Druyanti Bhutebhyo Yahi Natma Kalevaram Surya Sadavaloke Naradeva Narottamam Nabidruyanti Bhutebhyo Yahinatma Kalevaram. Devotees, please. Surya Sarvaloke Naradeva Narottamam Nadi Duranti Bhutta Yahi Atma Kalevaram Surya Sarvaloke Matajis? Surya Sarvaloke Naradeva Narottama Nadi Duryanti Bhutebhyo Yahinatma Kalevaram. Okay. So now let's repeat word by word. Sudyaha, the most intelligent persons. Sadhava, who are inclined to perform welfare activities. Loke, in this world. Naradeva, O King, Nara Uttama, the best of human beings. Na Abhidruhyanti, never become malicious. Bhuktebhya, towards other living beings. Yahi, because. Na, never. Atma, the self or soul. Kalevaram, this body. Well, translation by Srila Prabhupada. I'll read it and we can repeat. O King, you can repeat. O King, one who is advanced in intelligence and eager to perform welfare activities for others is considered best among human beings. An advanced human being is never malicious to others. Those with advanced intelligence are always conscious that this material body is different from the soul. O King, one who is advanced in intelligence and eager to perform welfare activity for others is considered best among human beings. An advanced human being is never malicious to others. Those with advanced intelligence are always conscious that this material body is different from the soul. See the purport by Srila Prabhupada. In daily life, we find that when a madman, his excuse by a high court judge. The idea is that a living entity is always pure because he is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When he falls into the clutches of material energy, he becomes a victim of the three modes of material nature. Indeed, whatever he does under the influence of material nature, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Nakatritvam nakarmani lokshasya srijanti prabhu nakarma phalas samyogam svabhavastu pravartate. Then God is spirit, master of the city of his body, does not create activities, nor does he induce people to act, nor does he create the fruits of action. All this is enacted by the modes of material nature. Actually, the living entity or soul does not do anything. Everything is done under the influence of the modes of material nature. When a man is diseased, the symptoms of the disease become a source of all kinds of pain. Those who are advanced in transcendental consciousness or Krishna consciousness are never envious, neither of the soul nor of the activities of the soul under the influence of material nature. Advanced transcendentalists are called Sudhyaha. Sudhi means intelligence. Sudhi means highly advanced. And Sudhi means devotee. One is both devoted and highly advanced in intelligence, does not take action against the soul or the body. If there is any discrepancy, he forgives. It is said that forgiveness is the quality of those who are advancing in spiritual knowledge. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Dhyanayana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Jena Tashmai Shri Gurave Namaha Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So thank you for one more opportunity to share some humble realizations. Just coming from a new student, there's not so much to say, but I'll do it anyway because they're all with the Guru. So I also ask your permission to give some words on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Here is a very special part of pastimes of Krishna, because Lord Vishnu has appeared to Prita Maharaj. And every time the Lord appears, something very special happens. So the Lord, he's giving some instructions to Prita Maharaj. And the first thing he did is he asked Prita Maharaj to forgive Indra, because Lord Indra acted in a way which morally wouldn't be very acceptable, as it was discussed yesterday. But at the same time, by the Lord's wish, He wanted to show the character of Prita Maharaj. He wanted to show the quality of a devotee of Krishna who is fixed in that knowledge. And that quality is going to be clear as pastime goes by. And right here, he has given away the opportunity to have a great deal of material prosperity. Because if he finishes that jagya, which he was planning to do, he would be qualified to take any material position in the universe, including Lord Indra's position, if he, that was the designation. So that's why Lord Indra was so worried that he might take his position. I've heard in a class that Lord Indra, when his time finishes, he actually sees the new Indra coming. And he actually, in that moment, meditates on the pain of leaving all that material opulence that he has. And once he's out of the post, he is nobody. Just like you can see a president is so important, there's so many guards around him. As soon as he leaves the post, he's just someone. He's got his importance, but it's not like the same. So similarly, Prita Maharaj could have all that, but because of authority, he received a higher instruction. He deliberately accepted to leave that. And now, the Lord, being pleased with him, is instructing him. Here, one of the first instructions of the Lord is based on the central pillars of the Vedic injunctions. And this Vedic injunction is based on the difference between the body and the soul. And that is so because if we study the origin of the creation, how this creation comes about, from the pradhan, how it is transformed into the mahat, and how then from the mahat all the other energies are brought about, we'll understand how this world works. From the five Mahabhuta energies, earth, water, fire, air, ether, the senses come out. So, that means that everything which is seen, which is heard, which is perceived, is very connected to the Mahabhuta. In that way, it wouldn't be a big surprise if the identity between the body and this world was so strong, because it comes from there. That's where it comes from. And if we analyze, there are 10 senses, right? 5 working senses, 5 knowledge acquiring senses, the mind, the intelligence, and the ego, and then there is left the polluted consciousness. These 24 elements which come out from the 8 energies of the Lord, the separate energies of the Lord, is the material nature. So, dealing with the material nature, we are dealing with these energies. And from these energies come our perceptions. So, the only natural thing is that dealing with this world, you would be imbibed, or you'd be made of conceptions which would be of material existence. Even though our natural constitution is different from that. So, the central pillar of the Vedic scriptures is to show the living entity who has decided to come here and try to enjoy by himself that the main goal of life is to please the Lord. And that cannot be contemplated unless we start reconnecting. Because the discussion of what is this world, what is life, has been going on forever. The knowledge of Kshetra and Kshetragya has been everywhere in all cultures, all philosophies. Take the Greeks, take the modern contemporary philosophy. All the philosophers are trying to understand what is this world and what is life. Where does life come from? Why do we suffer? In every culture, that's it, that's there. Now, unless you start from Jnana Yoga, you put a connection to Jnana, there is no point in understanding what is beyond the Mahabhuta. Because what's beyond the Mahabhuta is transcendental and made from a different energy. The Lord states in the Gita, in the 7th chapter, there are two verses which He confirms this. There are two verses in the Gita, 7.4 and 7.5, where He exactly says the same thing. Bhumi apo naro vayo kham mano buddhi eva cha ahankara ityame bina prakriti astada. Bina, separate energy. These are my separate energies. Right? They're separate. Now, being separate from the Lord doesn't mean the Lord is not there. Okay? I was meditating on this class and I thought of an example, like a fruit. A fruit could be considered a separate energy of a tree, because after it's mature, it falls from the tree. But at the same time, it's a mango. Right? And the potency of the tree is in the mango. Right? So similarly, when we look at this world, initially, we'll just notice the Mahabhuta, the energies. But we'll not perceive the potency of the Lord, which is inside the Mahabhuta, which is exactly what gives attraction to this world. Whatever gives attraction in this world comes from the Lord. And this attraction is because it carries the potency of the Lord in the form of Brahma. So, having said that, we will deny this world, saying that this is material. It's useless because it's material. But once you perceive the potency of the Lord inside this material energy, you can use it to please the Lord. So, if we do that, if we use the energies of this world to please the Lord, the next obvious questions will be how to please the Lord. Because we are so convinced that this world is the substance, that this world is where the reality lies. Because we've been getting results for so long. You cook something, it comes. You walk, you move. You get a plane, you get to your destination. So, with all these arrangements, material arrangements, our conviction that this material has substance is very great. And then, when trying to use this energy in the service of the Lord, we will access those experiences, those information which we have gained from our senses. But they are inside the Mahabhuta. Therefore, and the Mahabhuta is inside the modes. Therefore, it's said that we are controlled by the modes. And Srila Prabhupada says here that we actually don't do anything. It just goes here. The embodied spirit, master of the seat of the body, does not create activities. So the activities are not created. They are carried out by the three modes. So actually, if it was a very cold analysis, all our attachments, all our dear attachments, are basically manifestations of the modes. Now, if we go on, we'll see that there is another energy, which is the embodied spirit. And the embodied spirit can regain his original constitutional identity if he follows certain path, a certain, let's say, system. The same way, if you have polluted water and you go through a principle, it gets purified. There is a certain process which, if submitted correctly, will purify the heart and will bring about the natural consciousness of the soul. And this process is given in the disciplic succession, which will be the next verse, so I won't speak very much about that. And that, exactly like the mango I mentioned, has to be passed from hand to hand. Because if anybody has eaten a mango which has fallen on the ground, it tastes so bad. It's not the original taste of the mango. But if the mango is taken carefully, on the right moment, passed from hand to hand, gone through the process of ripening, all the subtle processes of different substances inside the mango, flavoring, acidity going into so many processes, becomes sweetness. And actually, sweetness comes from acidity. And here, Vishnu is stressing what happens to one who follows this process. Because Prithu Maharaj, as it will be said, has been trained in the disciplic succession. So he is qualified to pass that substance, which is different from the Mahabhuta. And here in the verse, Krishna is pointing out three basic things. This person who has acquired this full process, who has gone through the full process, so he's called advanced in intelligence. And intelligence here can be understood by his philosophy, his understanding of the world, right? What he can perceive and how he can perceive everything. In some Upanishads it said that we will come to see the soul through the scriptures. So through this information that we get from the scriptures, we'll come to see all the souls. So it will be visible, because your eyes will have the right lenses to see the soul. So this person who is advanced in intelligence and eager, it's another very important word, he's advanced and he's eager to do what? To perform welfare activities. Now to perform welfare activities, I must know what is welfare. Because if I don't know, I'll just get stuck in some ism, as Prabhupada mentions, because I will not know how to benefit everyone. And also inside advance, in the Gita, Krishna points out 20 qualities before you can enter in the realm of understanding the self and all this knowledge. And from those 20 qualities stated in the Bhagavatam, one is preeminent, which is to render the unalloyed devotional service to me. Krishna says that. So that's the central principle. To be an advanced devotee means to be eager to render devotional service to Krishna and understand that the Mahabhuta is a manifestation, yet separate, a manifestation from the Lord. And when engaged adequately, it has value because it will be given to the Lord. In that sense, it can be offered. And it will be offered according to the scriptures. So the more someone follows the scriptures, the better the benefit. This world has been designed to fall apart. You build a family, it will fall apart. You build a business, it will fall apart. You build traditions, it will fall apart. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established here all the Bhakti Yoga cult. It had gone. He re-established it. He enjoyed with his associate in this very land. All around here he was chanting, dancing. He was bringing out the most inner secret topics of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he was giving that freely to all his associates. Right here. And it went apart. It fell apart. And then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, by his extreme devotion and loving feelings toward the Lord, could bring that and re-establish it. And with the help of his son, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, he could spread it. And from his disciple, he chose one, Srila Prabhupada, and he put all around the world. So, it will fall apart. That's the way it's made to work. There is something in the modern technology, Bhaktivedanta Puranaswami once mentioned in his class, it was obsolete planning, something like that. It's something is planned to fall apart. You can't make it that it fall apart in the first minute like some of the Chinese products. sorry, I'm not, it's no offense if China, but some of the Chinese products we buy on the street for 3 rupees, 1 rupee, you bring it home and then if you touch it, it will fall apart. So you don't buy it anymore. But other business, they just make it in a way that it fall apart within a few weeks or a few months, and then you just shift from buying one thing which will fall apart in 3 weeks to another which will fall apart, and we start dealing with those. Now, this world is made that way, and if we don't perceive that, we'll suffer, because we'll be always be working, striving to make it, to put it together. In neurolinguistics, there is some technique about programming the mind. It is said that you can harmonize your beliefs. But as soon as you harmonize, something happens. It's disharmonized. Or you can take a Reiki session and you take all this energy nice, you're that nicely, you go around, and all of a sudden, boom, it's everything is back. All your mind setting comes back and you're disappointed again. So all these arrangements will fall apart. This is the way the world has been designed to work. Now, if we understand how the Vedas prescribe this working, that will be the best working it will get to. It won't get better than that. So if we think the Vedic is just a scripture from ancient times for a group of people who are on the mountains and is not practical for me, you lose the opportunity to enjoy life. Because if you want to enjoy life, one of the only ways is to take the Vedic system. Because gradually you will come to the comprehension that this world is not our place. Our place is somewhere else, because we are made of that substance. And that substance is not the same substance as this world. It's a little higher. This is superior energy trying to lord over the material energy. But Prabhupada says in a letter, one energy cannot lord over another energy for a very long time. Sooner or later it will stop. You need a real Purusha to enjoy, and that Purusha is Krishna. It's Bhagavan. So Bhakti Yoga seems so easy, but at the same time, why are not so many people coming? Because to get to this point, we must be eager to learn from these advanced sages. And they're eager to tell us our welfare. And what is that welfare? That we should be with the Lord. We should serve the Lord. That's where we belong. That's our place. And from that learning from these sages, we'll pick up the enthusiasm. We'll pick up the mood. We'll pick up the desire to serve the Lord. And understand that this material, this bina, is separate. It can be used for the Lord, and it should be used for the Lord adequately, following the Vedas, following the scriptures. Because by doing that, I'll come to this point where Vishnu is praising Prithu Maharaj for having arrived. He's saying, look, Prithu, this is Indra who wants to make his sacrifice. Let him, because you are beyond an advanced person in intelligence, is eager to perform welfare activities for others. And he's the best among human beings. He's never malicious, and he's always conscious that the material body is different from the soul. That reminds me, when I just joined a few years ago, and I read Srila Prabhupada's book, I was in the beginning annoyed how he, every second page, said, you're not this body, you're a spiritual soul. I said, yes, Swami, you told me that. But you're telling me again, so why are you telling me that again? And I say, I want something more. You've told me that. And then as time passes on, I see, oh, I should have heard more. I need to hear that every day, every second. Because through my eyes, through time immemorial, I am used and habituated to perceive the Mahabhuta and think that's the substance. That's where my values are. That's where life really is. And to re-educate myself, to see life through the eyes of the Shastra and see the soul and always desire the welfare of everyone, I must grow in that science. It will not do just to be a very, very austere person, a very renounced person. that will just not do, because that's not what conquers the Lord. What conquers the Lord is our eagerness to recover our real identity, and that deserves surrender. Now, coming to surrender, I was listening to class by Hidayananda Das Goswami Maharaj, and he was very clear in this point. And he said, surrender in the West is not a very good term. Because if an army surrendered, for example, you have the Americans in Vietnam, so the Viet Cong surrendered, they'll be put in very austere situations. They wouldn't be praised for surrendering. Oh, you're so glorious that you have surrendered. No. If you take the Romans, things could be even worse. They would take your land, they would just do everything bad to you and put hot oil on your land just to guarantee you would not grow a crop. So that was the level of reward to surrender. So no wonder when we talk about surrender in the West, we talk about losing identity, losing free will, losing ability to be an autonomous person. You are more like a slave, subdued to all power, all kinds of humiliations. Now, the Vedic term surrender does not carry that fragrance. Sharanagati, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur expresso, or prapat, which comes from in prapadyante, they surrender, shows that you're coming closer, you're approaching. So, if we're approaching, means we're coming nearer. And if you're coming nearer, it's more likely we'll understand some elements which are locally established. Because if something is very far away, it will be hard for us to perceive. But something is near, if we approach, it's easier to perceive. Right? So that surrender carries that element of coming nearer. So many times you think, oh, surrender is a very pure devotee. Because Krishna will ask him to do things which he will be able to do, but I won't be able to do. Because Krishna will ask me to do things which I can't. So by thinking that, do we think Krishna is practical? Do we think that Krishna can understand the attachments I have? The exact things which I cannot give up now? Is Krishna able to catch that or not? Is Krishna in touch with his feelings or not? Do I see that Krishna is so sensitive that he can understand where exactly I am? And by surrendering, he'll give me exactly what is practical for me to do. Or will he give me something so impractical that I won't be able to do and I will be so dysfunctional that I'll just bloop as many things? So the idea of surrendering means it should be done now. And he goes on pointing that in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a verse which says, Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udhara dhir divena bhakti yogena yatena purusham haram. It doesn't matter if you have all the material desire. And he goes on, can anybody go beyond all material desire? can we get more perverted than that? Or if you have no material desire, you should serve the Lord. Yeah, you should worship Govinda. So the same instruction is given to two very different, extremely different kinds of person. That means that Krishna is adequate. He is practical. And surrender is something very much suitable for all of us. Because Krishna will be able to understand exactly what we need, and he'll give a program exactly to the size that I need. It may be in the beginning that something which is difficult comes up, and Guru Sabananda was pointing out that he wanted to do Bhakti Shastri, he wanted to study the Vedas, and he ended up in a farm planting bananas, washing the dishes, feeding the cows, and it was night, no electricity, he had to read in a candlelight, so that was very impractical for someone who wants to study the Shastra. But just see, today he's a Bhakti Shastri teacher, he's well established, he married to an Indian lady, he's established in this environment, his life is perfect. What else could he want? And it's practical. So Krishna is so practical. Analyzing hundreds of examples of devotees who are well established in devotional service, Krishna is so practical. You know me. Radhanatha Swami, he wanted to be a sadhu. Can anyone think of a sadhu better and more happy than Radhanatha Swami? His very face shows the rays of Vishnu. So, Krishna is very practical. He's giving us the size of service we need. Isn't that right? And isn't the desire of the devotee that molds Krishna? Mother Yashoda serves Krishna as a mother. She doesn't go around hanging with the cowherd boys or the gopis. So, Mother Yashoda's desire to serve Krishna as a mother makes Krishna accept her service and be a child. The gopis' desire to love Krishna unlimitedly puts them in a position where they can love Krishna unlimitedly. And because of their love, Radharani, someone was informed me, had to stay without Krishna for 86 years. I don't know if you could live without our service, our deity for 86 years and still be Tadashri Srimati Radharani. So, because she's aspiring to love Krishna so intensely, all this can happen in her personality. So, isn't Krishna practical? He's giving us exactly, you want to be an austere brahmachari, the best brahmachari in the temple, Krishna will give it to you. You want to be a grihastha, you want to deal with life in that way, Krishna will give it to you. And if the grihasthas can understand the Mahabhuta is offerable to Krishna, and stable families are desired, because stable families are the basis of our community. And from community, you can build worship, you can build festivals for the Lord, you can build many, you can build cooperation, you can build understanding that Krishna is supreme. So, if you go to Vrindavan, to the Vrajavasis, you never meet more welcoming people. They don't know you, they feed you. If you see you are a genuine pilgrim, they receive you in their heart. They welcome in their heart. There's so many reports on that. And that comes from reciprocation. So the Lord, being the supreme attractive Lord, will reciprocate with what we propose. And from that, if we desire to serve the Lord, it will come the moment when the Lord will give us this reward he's giving Prita Maharaj. He's instructing him personally and telling him that this level you should always desire the welfare of all. You should always see that the soul is different. And you should never be malicious towards the other. The time will come when Prabhupada assures that when you speak, all you speak is for the benefit of the interlocutor. There's no other intention in your speech besides the genuine benefit of the person who is hearing. And that will come. Prabhupada mentions that moment will come. And if you trust that Krishna is practical, that moment will come. And we should aspire for that, because that's what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had in mind when he sent his devotees to all different regions to chant the holy names. Because by chanting the holy names, we do everything. We clean the heart, we derive attraction for Krishna, we derive respect for the Vaishnavas, we derive everything from the holy names. So the holy names is the core instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because it's both practical and it's both intimate and it's the end of knowledge. It's the end of Vedanta. When we mature Vedanta, we'll come to the conclusion that the holy name is everything. Okay, so I think that's what I had to say. I'll open for questions, and if you like, thank you very much. Yes, Prabhuji has a question at the back.
Thank you, Prabhu. You mentioned, if I heard correctly, that Lord Chaitanya started the movement and then somehow it came to a stop. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur had to revive the movement. And if I have heard correctly, Prabhupada said that that ISKCON would go on for 10,000 years, that his books are the law books. But then I'm thinking like, the Lord himself started the movement and then something happened. Somehow it came to a stop and then his devotee, had to revive the movement. So is there, and then you also mentioned that everything is designed in a way that, you know, it has to crumble at some point or the other. So can there be some threat in spite of the prediction to ISKCON, or we can just, you know, lay back and, you know, rest assured, which we just hang around the movement, then, you know, I don't know if the question is.
I think you got a point. Yeah, you're asking if this is going to crack. Okay. Nice question, Prabhu. Thank you. You see, by the Lord's desire, the movement stopped for a bit because he had a plan. Okay? So, by the Lord's desire, this happened. And by the Lord's desire, this movement will stay for 10,000 years. Because it's the Lord's desire, it's bound to happen. That's one side of the answer. The other side, you ask me if ISKCON can crack every day. But it can renew itself every day. It depends on us. We ISKCON. What kind of conscience do we convey? That's ISKCON. If a guest come wanting, he heard that ISKCON was this movement predicted by Sri Nityananda Prabhu, and he told that Jiva Goswami that this movement will come and a temple will be built that it will be preached all over the world, and he meets us on the gateway. Which ISKCON is he facing? Us. That's us. So if we crack, ISKCON cracked. If we stand, ISKCON stand. So we are this ISKCON. And in that sense, every one of us has the responsibility, and not think, oh, the GBC or the temple president or someone. No, it's me. I have the responsibility of standing up for the depth I acquire with my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, for giving me the present of the Vedas, the present of Bhakti Yoga. Because of that depth, I want to give it back. How? Loving his service. Honoring his service. Honoring his associates. All the people that he brought together. So everyone is saintly because they came from Prabhupada's desire. And if I can see in that way, what evil can I see in ISKCON? I can only see saints. And it's a challenge to see that way, but that's the way Bhaktivinoda saw. He saw when he went around Bengal, he saw four armed people. Everyone was a resident of Vaikuntha. So how did he see? He saw through the soul. And they are inhabitants of the Holy Garden, so they must be associated with the Lord. What other? What else? So, the second answer to that question, if in a way we carry the gift of representing Srila Prabhupada, and that goes to the moment you're alone in our room, or we are in Calcutta or any other place. If we think that because no other ISKCON devotee is seeing me, I'm free to do whatever I want, how much do I convey the responsibility of representing my guru? You know, how much consistency do I carry in my life? The things I do, the things I buy, the words I speak, how do they convey with the message I receive from my spiritual master? So as much as we hold that message, spread that message in that way, with that spirit, ISKCON has only flourishing ahead, because it's already flourishing every moment. The moment you do it, it's flourishing. That's ISKCON, flourishing. That's how I see it. Yes, Prabhupada, he has a question. Oh, you want to ask something now?
Now you mentioned that Bhakti Vinod Thakur went around Bengal and he saw four armed, everybody had four arms. Yeah? So that was his vision. Then I have heard that, very recently, God Brother said, what happened is we were in this communication center, the Cyber Cafe in Chakra, and I normally drink water, I spend some time there, so these guys have a bottle of water, so I had some water, and then I offered it to this Brahmachari, God Brother. He had water from that bottle, and then I took it back, and then I returned the bottle. And then he figured out, and he was unhappy that the bottle belonged to these guys. He said that, they touch the mouth of the bottle. So I said, great, so what big deal, you get their maha. These people are Gram Vasis, So he said, he told me that, you see, there is a covering over the dam, and the people who live in that covering, they are not, part of, it doesn't matter where they live, whether in Vrindavan or in, Mayapur or Navadvip, they are not a part of anything. So I said, I couldn't argue, and I just felt sorry. I wanted to apologize that, I gave contaminated water.
Srila Prabhupada also said to us that we should see the Vrajavasis in a way of respect, but we shouldn't be too near because we might be confused. There's a pastime with Sanatana Goswami where he goes into a Vrajavasi house and the lady is cooking some sweet rice for the Lord, but she's also with a stick in her mouth cleaning, and the sweet rice is boiling, so she takes it and stirs the sweet rice, and then she goes back, and he was a bit like shocked for that at the moment, but Krishna accepted exactly like that. So the Lord is inconceivable, first thing we must accept. It's not with our rational mind that we're going to separate who is inhabitant of the dam, who is not. That's up to the Lord. Really is up to the Lord. So I'm not in a position of saying this Vrajabasi is an associate of the Lord, this one is not, this one is this, that's, I'm not in the position. Srila Bhaktivinoda, very advanced soul, will recommend in his book to see that way. He said, if you see that way, you'll be able to go along the dam without committing offenses. And I found it very secure to take it that way. Because that way, if by chance one of them is a true associate of the Lord, and I just by accident committed an offense to him, a lot of damage can be done. So better safe to see everybody. And there's no harm in seeing everybody because they're spiritual souls anyway. So that's how I see it. There are many experienced devotees here. They can, I'm sure, contribute a lot more on this topic, which has been ventilated for a long time. If anyone wants to compliment in that answer, feel very free. Prabhuji? Yeah.
Well, the only case probably in which I think we cannot really suppose that they are Vrajavasis is when they offend senior devotees in ISKCON. There are many Dhamvasis who are openly critical of other senior devotees in ISKCON. In that case, probably it's really difficult for us to accept them as Vrajavasis or Dhamvasis. Maybe other types of behavior can be, seen as inconceivable, but how do you see this as inconceivable?
Other types of behavior?
Well, other types of behavior which may not appear as right, I mean, which may not seem very good, that probably can be taken as inconceivable. But when, except in this case, I don't see how it can be still accepted. I mean, when they are actually envious or blasphemous or critical about senior Vaishnavas in ISKCON.
Yeah, that's another point. I mean, when you have advanced devotees criticizing advanced devotees, Prabhupada gave many instructions on that, on his bhag brothers, and there's a whole series of specific instructions for that. But we're just talking about going around the dam, right? And that's another department. It will be a whole class, and I'm not qualified to talk on this topic so much. But even if the case is that, if you're a distance, and if you see that he's a spiritual soul, and you don't associate, you're safe. Or if I go then I judge, no, you are offending, blah, blah, blah. I go in with him. So, in that situation, I find more practical for myself just to pay my respects as a spiritual soul and look for souls who are glorifying Srila Prabhupada. Yes, Prabhuji has a question too.
I just want to make the comment that if you want to be safe, just assume that everybody's better than you are, that's all.
Great, perfect, yes.
Just assume everybody's better than me.
Yes, Guruji, very nice comment. Okay? Oh, there's a question here, there's a Mataji, sorry, sorry, Mataji. Perspective, where are you coming from? If you're coming from to the perspective that I'm so attached that I can only do this service for Krishna, nothing else, okay? That's accepted by Krishna. It will be in the realm of karma yoga, but it's accepted, and progressively you get to understand that you should do what the Lord wants from you, okay? But the Lord, being very sensitive, he'll be aware of what you like to do. Won't he? Or he'll just like give you something very bad, different, completely different, so that you prove that you have no other desires besides serving him. Once you prove you love him, he'll prove he loves you. And if you have a desire to do a nice service for the Lord, he will. Okay? But in the beginning, it may be that we are attached to a certain degree of material energy, let's put it that way. And we can only see the Lord through that specific angle. So the Lord is patient and he gives karma yoga, jnana yoga, and then you come to nice karma yoga where you do it for the pleasure of the Lord. It's better. And finally, we'll get to the unalloyed devotional service. So it's a progressive way. Okay? So Rupa Goswami does not get like this idea of hanging around, let the Lord do, give it to me whenever he wants. He says you should be enthusiastic and determined. So that, if you read Raghunatha Swami's search, Journey Home, you see what's the determination. So we should be very, very determined, and we should be very aware that the opportunity the Lord makes, the arrangement to have this temple, this community, the holy dam, is not something simple, it's not something by chance. You're very fortunate to be exactly here. And you should take advantage of that and see that. And from that vision, you should build on and build your service. What do you want to offer to Krishna? What is the mission of your life? Krishna has a mission for you and for all of us. And what is that mission? How can I do that mission? And for everyone it will be a different mission. And we should know that. And we should do it. Because if we do it, we'll be happy. Because the Lord will be happy. Okay? Not satisfied? Okay.
I had the desire to make a self-sufficient place where everyone together serves the deities there. But I never told him, and then one day I asked him, like, what is my goal in life? What do you want me to achieve? And then he asked me to do that. And then I was thinking about it a lot, and one day in class, one Prabhu just recently, he said that, like, Srila Prabhupada in the early days was trying to make a temple somewhere, and then the ladies who were in charge, they had a different idea and they wanted to make like a gathering for ladies and something like that. So Prabhupada gave that idea and he went somewhere else. And he said that if there's many like blockings, then just try somewhere else. But if you got that instruction from your guru or your aspiring guru, then you can't really just drop it and go somewhere else. So you just keep pushing those blocks even if it seems impossible? Or should you think, oh, it's Krishna's trying to tell me something and I should try somewhere else?
No, your guru is a representative of Krishna. So if he's saying go on, you should go on. But of course, he's very sensitive and he will understand your mind, he will understand the problems you're facing to do that, and he will give solutions for that together with you. So it's a whole question of trust. If you trust your guru, you trust Krishna, then things will flow.
How do you surrender to Krishna? How do you show that you surrender? Because many times you mentioned you have to surrender to Krishna. So how do you surrender to Krishna?
Very simple. Now. You just do it now. Surrendering to Krishna means prasadam is in front of you. See, this is prasadam. And you understand prasadam. This is a bhajan. I have to be in the bhajan, not thinking about other things. I am here. You surrender in the moment. Krishna is in the present. He's not hidden in the future, nor in the past. Krishna is in the present. You can only surrender to Him now. Not tomorrow, not yesterday, now. And every minute is the opportunity to surrender. Actually, when we come to this surrender, which is so talk about, getting a very high taste, we'll give up everything. And then we'll just be there with the Lord. But that's the final stage. It's fine if you can just lead to the final stage, it's a blessing. There are some very great souls who have done that. Madhvacharya just came to his mother and said, I want to be an ascetic because I want to. And she said, no, you can't, you're the head of the family. You can't. And said, no, okay. Until I have a brother, I won't go. But as soon as I have, he was like 8, I will. As soon as his brother was born, he took sannyas. So, now is the moment. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. You have to ask about Krishna now. This moment. Okay? So thank you very much. It's 9 o'clock. Grandavashima Bhavatam Ki Jai. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai.